March the 2nd, 1978.
Urbana.
It was definitely a great disadvantage in those days to be Jewish, but in some universities, certainly it was true at Harvard, where Perkoff had a kind of naive anti-Semitism, as far as a placement at Harvard went, but he felt that other places, of course, with less prestige than Harvard, naturally could have anybody they wanted. There were certainly restrictions on admissions. It was generally felt that Princeton was admitted far fewer Jews than Harvard on principle. Most of those things have changed radically now, but they were certainly strong then. Of course, everything was easier then. Everything was less efficient in every way. So, for example, now it's really hard to get into universities. There are a great many applicants for each position. I got in because Harvard had some kind of peculiar rule that if you were in the upper seventh of your high school class, I don't know where this number seven came in, so if you were in the upper seventh of your high school class, then you could be admitted without examination, and that's how I got in. Mm-hmm. Nowadays, such things are unheard of. Everything was easier in the good old days. In the good old days, if you were a communist in Europe, you could write a book in jail. The kind of efficiency of Hitler changed that. My father came from what was then the Austro-Hungarian Empire, not very far from Prague, and he hadn't served his military service, and so it was illegal for him to emigrate and come to this country. But he solved it by the simple device of going to the toilet in the railroad station when the man who was to check on military service came. Naturally, in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, nobody would bother somebody on the toilet, so he wasn't examined for see if he had the right papers. Those inefficient, nice days are gone forever. I don't quite know how this happened, that Harvard never got interested in probability. Of course, probability in this country was relatively new. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there's a book, a very thick book on probability by a Harvard professor, J.L. Coolidge. Mm-hmm. It's one of these old books. Do you know Zuber's book?
Yes, yes.
Coolidge was a book writer. He wrote a book on circle geometry and this and a few other books, I assume all of the same quality. Of course, probability was new, and somehow Harvard was never very progressive that way. It didn't go in much for new things. Mm-hmm. Princeton had Wilkes in statistics back in the 30s. Of course, you realize that administrators didn't know the difference, if any, between probability and statistics. Kolmogorov told me at the meeting where I first met him, Amsterdam, I guess, that how lucky we were in this country to have this enormous number of probabilists. And at that time, of course, it was nonsense. I didn't know what he was talking about and asked him. And it turned out that he counted all the statisticians among the probabilists. Real statisticians, of course, are not mathematicians. They get inferiority complexes in mathematics departments. And they also complain everywhere that they get no credit from the university for consulting. And the university always answers that if you want to do consulting, that's up to you. If we don't give an electrical engineer credit for getting money from DuPont for consulting DuPont, why should we give you any credit? And this argument goes on forever. The places where there's a statistics department is a place. Those places are places where some aggressive statistician like Neyman in Berkeley have insisted on having their own department. A place like Urbana, up to the present, to the recent past at any rate, has been a place where the statisticians love to be in a math department where somebody else would worry about administrative routines, somebody else would handle secretaries, and they would be left alone. But this simply means that our statisticians were not aggressive, of course. And now they have recently decided that they want a department of their own and are in a big fight to try to get it. But they're doing it rather incompetently. So I hear the great men of finance tell about the stocks they buy and so on, and they've done phenomenally well. And by phenomenally well, I mean they've done better than practically any one of these funds, the stock funds. And which means that they get a return counting everything of about 9%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I go to them and say, but you can buy a certificate of deposit in the savings bank, which will cost you no commission, and which will give you a little bit over 8%, what is so good about getting 9% these ways? With the various expenses of commissions and so on, and getting people who know everything about these various companies and so on. And the answer I get from all of them is something like this, that you can't keep up with inflation if you just buy interest-bearing things. And so I, of course, say, but why is a little over 8% interest, why isn't that keeping up with inflation just as well as losing money, which is what most of these funds have done when the market goes down, or even with our fund of going up by about 9% with all the expenses that that entails? And the answers I get are simply double talk. And I received Jean Beal's book on, let's see, I have it around here somewhere. Anyway, it was Probability, to review for the Bulletin of the Math Society or something like that. And he discussed martingales in the more or less the French sense of a system of play. And he proved the law of, and he proved that if you had by what we now call a martingale sequence, then under some conditions, rather, I guess if it was positive, then the sample sequences were bounded, almost surely bounded. And he used that in order to prove, for instance, the law of large numbers in the Bernoulli case. He formed a martingale easily and got the law of large numbers that way. And this looked very nice to me, and so I arbitrarily defined martingale in the present definition. And in other words, the present definition of mathematical martingale is a distortion of his use of the word martingale, which is more or less the French use of doubling, of some kind of system in which you double. This is an American martingale. The Canadian, this keeps, goes from the chin or whatever you call it of the horse to his chest to keep his head from going up.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian martingale, Colin Blythe told me, is used when you have two horses attached to a wagon. Then there has to be some device by which if they go backwards, the wagon will go backwards so that they don't hit the wagon with their legs. And there's some kind of strap in Canada which is called a martingale and which does that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's entirely different.
I see. But was we who first used a term, martingale?
In the closest, well, of course, there is the original French definition in all the dictionaries.
Mm-hmm.
This
double.
Double.
See, the fact that one can only modify the chance by systematic choices. See, he never quite says the following. A definition, martingale is a sloppy style. He says, so now we'll form a martingale or something. But there's never any formal definition. And what I did was simply to formalize ideas which were in the back of his mind, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what we would say by saying that a positive martingale is bounded. Of course,
mm-hmm.
he didn't have any convergence theorem.
I see.
But of course, Serge Bernstein and Levy were using them without the name, of course, for years before I ever arrived. My book, my children listen to the radio every
mm-hmm.
evening,
mm-hmm.
and what they listen to is the program, were the usual children's programs. One of them that was very popular was Superman. You've heard of Superman, I suppose. So every night, just about supper time, I'd hear about the adventures of Superman. Now, as an old function theory type, I knew all about subharmonic functions and superharmonic functions. And I realized that those were the obvious, that obviously the proper words would be supermartingale and submartingale. But supermartingale sounded so funny after listening to Superman every night that the word just sounded funny. And so I use these silly names of submartingale and lower semi-martingale or something or other in my book. And it was all because of Superman.
Oh,
a date that we forgot soon. No, it's interesting. Something is wrong with books and probability because my book still sells. Now, the book is really out of date, of course. And so something must be wrong with the books. That must be ununderstandable that people have in my mind.
Lord.